You're listening to the Orlando Sentinel's College Gridiron 365 podcast. Hosts Brant Parsons and Matt Marshall give their perspective on the hottest topics in college football. Now let's get on with the show.
Time for another college football conference season preview on College Gridiron 365. Heading out west, Jim Morrison said the West is the best. We're talking Pac-12, a loaded conference this year. For so long, it was Oregon and everybody else. But now, Matt, when you look at this conference, there's talent up and down. And really, as you're going to hear in this podcast, probably seven or eight teams that you could legitimately make an argument that could compete to win the Pac-12.
Oh, for sure. I think this is one of the few years we've had in a while where the Pac-12 really is loaded, and you really don't have a definitive top team. I mean, you mentioned, you know, Stanford, you've got Oregon, Washington State, UCLA, USC, Utah. I mean, it's just up and down, and I think that's what makes this conference so interesting, especially coming off a year where they didn't have a team qualify for the college football playoff. So there is a little bit of a feeling that one of these teams has to be good enough to elevate itself to get itself into that 14 playoff.
And that's my first storyline heading into the year. What will it take for the Pac-12 to get back into the college football playoff? Stanford last year ended up in the top four after everything was said and done, after winning the Pac-12 and then winning the Rose Bowl, but they were not in the college football playoff despite heading into the offseason 11-2, not good enough to get out there. What does the Pac-12 have to do to get back into the discussion, to get back into the college football playoff?
Well, it has to have a team step up and really become elite. You know, it didn't have that. You mentioned Stanford, you know, was a two-loss team. That wasn't going to cut it last year to get in the playoff. You know, outside of Stanford, they're really, you know, Utah was it with 10-3. So they need a couple of these teams, you know, not only to become elite, but to quit beating up on each other, because I think that's what hurt them. They kind of ate each other up towards the end. And I think that really kind of was a factor that we haven't seen in a while. And I think, as you mentioned, part of that is because we're seeing a lot more of these teams building up their programs and getting to that factor where they haven't been in the last couple of years.
Well, let's talk about that Stanford team and where they are. They're favored to repeat, 20-7 the last 3 years, 36-9 the last 5 years. The only team in the Pac-12 better, of course, is Oregon. Is Stanford ready to become an elite team, something that you and I growing up, 80s, 90s, even 70s, I don't know that we ever would have predicted. We spend so much time talking about Stanford in football, but are they ready to be that elite team to represent the Pac-12 in the playoff?
Well, I think they're probably the best team at this moment. I mean, I know that's not a ringing endorsement, but, you know, listen, I like Christian McCaffrey. I think he's the best college football player. I think, honestly, he should have won the Heisman last year. That's nothing against Derrick Henry. I just think when you look at overall performance, Christian McCaffrey had a much bigger impact on Stanford's success. I think he would have won it if it had been for the fact that they would have included some of the postseason games that were there as well. But the question mark I have for Stanford is that quarterback, you know, because, again, you've got a guy in Keller Crist who comes in, and Ryan Burns, guys who really haven't seen a lot of action, guys who've been spending their time sitting back on the bench. So, I mean, to have them, you know, having a new guy step up and make plays, having an offensive line that only returns two starters from last year, I mean, there's some question marks on the offensive line. I think, but again, David Shaw's, you know, really, if you look at the fact that he has done a great job offensively on these teams, I think they're going to be just fine with that situation. And I think defensively, this team is going to be strong as well. I think the middle of that defense is going to be solid. I think their front line is good as well. Again, I mean, for me, it's just, you know, there's nothing on the Stanford team that makes you the wow factor, but maybe that's a good thing. You know, maybe that's what Stanford football really is about, is not having that wow factor.
Be a challenge for them, obviously, to get back even into the Pac-12 title game, because the Pac-12 North is loaded. We know what Oregon can bring. Oregon last year, despite a down year for them, 9-4, they were still 7-2 in the Pac-12. Washington State has a leader at quarterback we're going to talk about, and Washington is on the upswing. You look at this Pac-12 North, and it is not going to be an easy run for Stanford just to get back to the Pac-12 title game. So many other schools, teams in this North can contend.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned some of them. You know, on Washington State, for instance, you know, Luke Falk, who put up some great numbers last year, we saw him kind of step up and become that leader. We saw what he was able to do in the postseason against Miami. I mean, here's a guy that I really honestly think Washington State could be a factor in the North. And imagine that. You know, we're talking about, you know, a program that hasn't been relevant in the Pac-12 in quite some time. You're looking at Washington, you know, maybe making a move, putting itself up as well. And then Oregon, you know, trying to bounce back after a rough season. So there's about four teams, including Stanford, that are really going to be battling it out for that top spot.
And then the South, the other end, and you have, again, I mentioned it at the beginning of the podcast. I will say it probably the first few weeks of the season. It's an open ball game in the Pac-12. It starts in L.A. with USC and UCLA, but also Utah. We saw what they're capable of doing in the South, and also Arizona State, a wide open battle on the other end of the Pac-12 spectrum.
Yeah, it really is. And this is one of the few conferences, you know, among the Power Five conferences that you can really say, you know, is up in the air. You know, you don't really have maybe one or two definitive teams, and then there's everyone else. I think really you could throw all these names in the hat and just pull one of these teams out, and they'd probably be good, you know, good factors or good chances to get into the college football playoff. I like UCLA, what they're done so far. I think Josh Rosen, you know, developed as an impressive debut for him as a freshman quarterback last year. You know, he threw for over almost close to 3,700 yards. He's a guy, again, will step up and be called upon, you know, to do that as well. But then you look at a team like USC, which brings in a new, you know, head coach, Clay Helton, even though he's been there before, so to speak, as an offensive coordinator. You know, USC has a lot of talent. And then you look at a program like Utah with, you know, Kyle Whittingham, who's done an amazing job with the Utes. They're a factor. They won 10 games last year. They could be just as well when going into the season.
I mean, talking about USC, almost called him UCF, Clay Helton comes in. This is a program, we know they're talented, but yet they've been struggling to put it all together really probably since the Pete Carroll days. I mean, in 2011, they had a pretty decent year at 10-2, but I mean, last year, 8-6, 9-4, 10-4. What is the key? What has USC not been able to do to turn their talent into success? And can Clay Helton do that in one season at USC?
Well, I think one of the things that's hurt USC has been consistency, and I think part of that goes back to the head coaching position. I mean, you know, you talked about when Pete Carroll left, you know, you look at guys like Lane Kiffin, you know, look at Steve Sarkisian coming in, you know, they had that one season where after Kiffin was fired, where they had two other different coaches. You know, I mean, you have to have consistency up and down throughout the program to be able to do that. And, you know, I think Clay Helton has the experience. He's been there before. I think you look at this offense, they return just about everybody except quarterback. And I think Max Brown, who's been there a while, kind of waiting and biding his time, you know, I think it's going to be his chance to step up and see if he can make the play. And I think defensively, I mean, we know that USC could put points up, but defense, they have to be able to shut some teams down. And you look at the schedule, it's not going to get easy. I mean, they play against Alabama in Dallas to open things up. They go at Stanford, at Utah. You know, they're going to have to face Oregon at home, at Washington, at UCLA, and then Notre Dame. This is probably one of the toughest schedules you're going to see out of one of the Power Five schools.
And we'll get to our predictions, but first, players to watch. We've touched upon the first guy we're going to talk about, and you can't talk about the Pac-12 without bringing up Christian McCaffrey's name, running back for Stanford. I'm with you. I think if he plays for anybody not Stanford last year, anywhere on the East Coast, he's a runaway Heisman winner. And if you count in what he did in the postseason, obviously even more so. But this is one of the best all-around backs that you're going to find in college football. And sometimes I think he's probably even better than we realize because he is at Stanford and we don't get to necessarily see everything that he does and or realize what he's able to do at Stanford. But this is a very special football player, and I'm excited to watch him again this year.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, again, you mentioned it. The guy, it's very rare nowadays where you get a player who can, you know, play running back, who can, you know, return kicks, who can pretty much be just about everything that your offense needs you to be. I think the concern I have with Christian McCaffrey going into this year is he's not going to surprise anybody. He's not going to sneak up on anyone. I think a lot of defensive coordinators are knowing what they're going to get when they face against him. I think you're also worried about the fact that during the offseason, you know, he got a lot of attention. He spent a lot of time on the awards circuit. He spent a lot lot of time doing interviews. I know they've tried to limit that a little bit now as they get closer to the season. But again, you know, you just don't want his time to be anything taken away from what's going on with football and school. So I think it's going to be interesting for me, especially early on, to see how he's able to make those adjustments and how teams, you know, who come at him differently, how he's able to adjust against those, you know, sort of maybe changes that defenses will be throwing his way.
Staying in the North for other guys to watch, and Luke Falk, Washington State quarterback, again, maybe a victim of location, but he's going to put up huge numbers, one of the best arms in college football. He's going to have a big year, and he's the reason that we're even looking at the Cougars as even being a contender in the Pac-12 North.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you look at what they're able to do, you know that Mike Leach, that offense, that air raid offense of his, you know it's going to put up big stats and big numbers. But, you know, he just hasn't really seemed to find the quarterback that best fits that system since he got to Washington State. I think that changes with Luke Falk. I think Luke Falk has stepped up and been able to, you know, handle that system well. I think he's matured. I think the wide receivers are benefiting from that. I think the offense is benefiting from it. You know, we saw them scoring, you know, more than 30 points a game. You know, I think that can only get better as they move forward. Again, if they can find some consistency in the rushing attack, I think that helps them out as well. And that's going to be huge because, really, honestly, Washington State opens up with Eastern Washington, a tough FCS opponent, a school that's won national titles in that sense. They go at Boise State, and then they go an Idaho game they should win easily, but then Oregon. So really, their early September is going to be some early challenges, and it's going to see if Falk can try to keep that team balanced as they try to move forward when they get into the Pac-12 schedule.
Before last season, the last time Oregon had lost four games in a year was 2007. Last time they had lost three games in a year was 2009. Of course, part of that was the change at quarterback. Marcus Mariota, of course, the great Oregon quarterback, graduated. Vernon Adams, some growing pains, some injury concerns. This year, again, a new quarterback, but some comfort at running back. Royce Freeman, one of the top running backs in the Pac-12, if not the country, comes back. And you have to think that Oregon will be leaning on him and his 17 touchdowns from a year ago to kind of settle that offense early.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, again, we saw he was able to do, you know, over 1,800 yards rushing last season. I mean, listen, they're going to have a new quarterback in Dakota Precup, a guy who, you know, transferred in from Montana State. It's going to take him a little bit of time to adjust there as well. They have a new offensive coordinator, Matt Lubbock comes in as offensive coordinator, replacing Scott Frost, who left to go to UCF. I mean, there's going to be some challenges here as well. Defensively, they bring in a new defensive coordinator, Brady Hoke, the former Michigan coach, you know, and they only bring back four players on that defense. So I think there are going to be some challenges here. I know Oregon's past, they love to go fast, they love to score fast. I think they're going to probably maybe still continue to do that, but I wouldn't be surprised if they rely more on Royce Freeman in this offensive system, at least until Precup kind of gets himself settled in as the quarterback under this offense.
And in the South, Josh Rosen, UCLA quarterback, year under his belt, tremendous potential, tremendous promise. If he is able to develop like you would expect him to develop, will go a long way for UCLA this season.
Yeah, again, I mean, a guy who's been outstanding, you know, really as a freshman last year, was able to do some things I think that people, you know, weren't expecting him to be able to do, and I think that's helped him out a lot. I think he needs to take that next step. You know, I think, you know, he threw 11 interceptions last year. I think he needs to cut down on his interceptions, and he needs to crank up on the completion percentage. I think he can use a better job. I thought late in the season in some of those games, he struggled a little bit against USC, for instance. You know, he had some turnovers there that were costly, and against Nebraska, you know, they had some mistakes. So again, Rosen needs to kind of elevate himself, but again, he's just a sophomore, so you know, the potential is there for another great season if he can kind of find his way to do that as well.
Time for the prediction portion of our podcast. We've looked at the Pac-12, two divisions, so many to choose from. We've done some other conferences where it was cut and dry, or at least a little bit more cut and dry. So this should be fun. Who do you have winning the Pac-12 North, and then who do you have winning the Pac-12 South?
Well, I've got Stanford winning the North. I know they were predicted to do that, but I mean, again, I think it's going to be close. I think Stanford and I think Washington State, maybe Washington, I think all three of those teams may be battling it out. I think Oregon can maybe sneak itself in. I think, again, we're going to see how good these teams all are. the end of September, because Stanford plays at Washington, then they play Washington State. So those are going to be the key games that, to me, are going to define the North. And then I think, you know, again, you know, you'll figure out which one of those teams, whether it's going to be Stanford or maybe the Cougars, to step up.
And then in the South, I'm going to put you on the line before I pick my picks.
Well, I think UCLA at this point. I mean, you know, only because of the fact that I think Utah has to develop a new quarterback. I think that USC has to develop a new quarterback. I think UCLA has the best options with Josh Rosen. I think defensively they return the most talent. I think this is going to be an interesting year for Jim Mora because, you know, last year they only won 8 games, and I think that was a little bit of a step back for them. I think he wants to come back and see if they can come back strong, but it's not going to be easy because they're on the road at Texas A&M. They got UNLV and they're at BYU. So really, the first 3 games are 2 road games. That's really what's going to test this team early on.
And time for my picks. I'm going to not go out on a real far limb, but I'm going to take Oregon in the North. I think they started to bounce back as the season went on last year. I do like having a guy like Royce Freeman there. I know what Oregon can do at home, and they get Stanford at home. They get Washington at home. They will have to travel to USC and Washington State, but I like how the schedule plays out for Oregon. I think the Ducks win the North, and I'm going to pick USC in the South. I'm going to continue my not-so-bold but always incorrect belief that the talent that the Trojans have will propel them in the South one of these years. I'm going to be right. But I think Oregon and USC meet in the Pac-12 title game.
Yeah, I mean, those, again, as we talked about early on, I don't think you can almost go wrong, I mean, because it's not like you're making a crazy pick. I think just because there's so many teams right now that have so many weapons and are so loaded with talent that it's pretty much anyone's guess when you're thinking about this conference.
So Stanford and UCLA, who's your Pac-12 champ, and are they making it to the college football playoff?
Well, I'm going to take Stanford in this case. You know, I mean, again, I know that, you know, they don't have a established quarterback, but I like what Christian McCaffrey has been able to do. I think David Shaw has done a great job with Stanford. I think Stanford gets there, and I'm not sure if they get a team in the playoff. I know that's scary to think again, but, I mean, I just don't see any team here that's as dominant as you might want to see to get there as well. So this could be year 2 without a Pac-12 team in the playoff.
And I have Oregon winning the Pac-12. And I got to put that disclaimer out too. I don't know. Same thing I said with the Big Ten. I think that some of the infighting will cost them. And I could see Oregon losing a game and still winning the Pac-12, possibly even stumble out of Nebraska in the 3rd week of the year. So I have 2 losses overall, 1 loss in the conference. I think there's so much talent in the Pac-12 that you're going to see teams beating teams from week to week. It's going to change. You're not going to have one dominant team. And the way that the playoff is set up now, it does disadvantage somebody that has 2 losses or even a loss in the conference. But I think Oregon wins the Pac-12, but I have to be a little skeptical on if the Pac-12 can get a team into the playoff again this year, just because the unfairness, if you will, but just how that works out with the records. And I think the Pac-12 is probably top to bottom one of the tougher, if not the toughest, conferences out there, and it's going to be tough treading for anybody to get through the Pac-12 schedule undefeated.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about parity with this league, and I think that's exactly what we're seeing right now. And, you know, you look at how these teams have really kind of been able to rebuild themselves, get themselves in the position of being those elite programs and recruiting well. And I think, you know, some of that is, you know, some of the money that's coming in thanks to the Pac-12 network and some of those issues there as well. And I think these up and down, you know, there's some great teams here. I think that parity, though, hurts you. And I think, as you mentioned, you know, having 2 losses, you're not going to get into the college football playoff, especially not in a season where you've got strong play out of conferences like the SEC and the ACC. So the Pac-12 needs to have someone kind of rise to the top and become that elite team if they want to get someone into the playoff.
And there you have it, our Pac-12 football conference preview. The season getting closer and closer and closer. Can't wait till it starts. And it will start with a Pac-12 team when Cal starts the season in Australia, you know, in a whole other part of the world. But it's coming up, and we will continue our college football previews as we move on closer. Please subscribe to our podcast. Share us on social media. Tell a friend, tell a family, tell everybody to give us a listen. And that will do it for now. Our Pac-12 conference preview on College Gridiron 365.
The College Gridiron 365 podcast is produced by the Orlando Sentinel and hosted by Brant Parsons and Matt Mershell. Come back often and be sure to add the College Gridiron 365 podcast to your RSS and iTunes feeds. Follow everything college football at OrlandoSentinel.com.